You still have that hymnal open to 336? You probably don't. The next stanza says, "Come thou incarnate word, gird on thy mighty sword. Our prayers attend. Come and thy people bless and give thy word success. Spirit of holiness on us descend. Come, holy comforter, thy sacred witness bear in this glad hour. Thou who art almighty art, now rule in every heart. And ne'er from us depart, spirit of power. To thee, great one, in three the highest praises be. Hence evermore, thy sovereign majesty, may we in glory see and to eternity love and adore." Open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. It's going on almost 5 years since we preached through the Sermon on the Mount. I had been working on the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And I'm still working on it. And then the concluding remarks of the Lord Jesus came to my mind when he preaches what we commonly call the Sermon on the Mount. And that's what I want us to take a look at this morning. And then let's pray that the Lord will work in our hearts. He knows us. He knows exactly where we are chronologically in our spiritual growth. He knows whether we're in Christ or not in Christ. And that we would come and that we would say, "Enable us to hear your word and enable us to respond to it, not just in here and not just up here categorized, perhaps in systematic in how we categorize it, but that we would find it in our heart and that we would respond to it, and that our responding to that would be, as the Lord Jesus said, the wise man, that I will liken him unto a wise man which builds his house upon a rock." So let's begin reading in chapter 7, verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded up on a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house up on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat up on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for access to the throne of grace in the Lord Jesus, your beloved Son. We thank you that you have given us your word. And as we assemble ourselves in the Lord Jesus' name, we ask now, enable us and help us, as we were so quoting this hymn, "O Holy Spirit, come." Instruct us from it. Teach us. Write these truths in our hearts and enable us to hear them and to respond to it. And that we might be like this wise master builder. And that our house, our spiritual house, will be built up on a rock. And that rock is none other than the Lord Jesus. Enable us to do that. Meet with us now, even as you already have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The conclusion, and I encourage you to read the Sermon on the Mount. The conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 28, we read, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes." These incredible truths that you find beginning in chapter 5, verses 1 and following, how the Lord Jesus really lays out what's the kingdom, what his kingdom is all about. And how different, you see, his teachings are that to the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees and that religious crowd, that really he is addressing his disciples and that crowd that is listening to. And when he gets all done, you see, he comes to the conclusion, and they are astonished at his doctrine, for he was taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes, these incredible truths that he gave them. I want you to know, folks, as the Lord uses an illustration of the house builder and storms. We've got storm warnings even today. And we ought to remember that it is not Mother Nature, I want you to know. Even the weather is under the sovereignty of God. He orders and he governs all things, period. And so at the same time, I know that there are folks that, and we're listening to the news, they're talking about the potentiality of severe storms. They're talking about the potentiality of tornadoes. They're talking about the fact, listen to the news, and then if necessary, take cover and be in a safe place. And I think all of us at times have seen the news reports of people that are in flood zones that build on rivers. I think we just recently saw, it's a little bit different display of creation up in, Minnesota and Canada, where there is actually ice coming off the lakes, and it's literally moving in and it's destroying homes. And in that, I believe that we all can say that the Lord uses an illustration here that we might be builders up on a rock and a solid foundation, that when you see and if things come in our lives, in the course of our lives, that we are in a solid foundation. The Lord Jesus in this particular passage, he said, if any man, what is he saying here? He said, and therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Now I want you to know something. We mentioned that this morning in Sunday school. I don't ever want you to get mixed up with the fact that somehow or another we think that we respond to the things of Christ and we act upon, and that somehow or another that we're working for and earning salvation. I want you to know it is by grace through faith. It is not of works. Responding, you see, to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and doing them is the evidence of the work of grace that has taken place in the heart. It is not that we're responding in order for us to have or for us to have or to possess. We don't do none of that. We respond because he is the one who has worked in our hearts. We respond because we have and possess the grace of God. And the reason that we respond is an act of love and worship and gratitude. And so the Lord Jesus is saying here in this passage, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I think the first thing that's involved is the hearing part. I don't know about you, but hearing is really very important, that when we hear the Word of God, we read it, whether it's in the Sunday school class, whether what we listened to this morning, and what the lessons that you have in the Colossians chapters 3, that you had in your Sunday school class, whether it was in the book of Titus, in the adult classes, whether it was us there in my Sunday school class where we looked at the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians, it is very important that we hear the Word of God. Hearing, what is he saying? What is he saying? What does it mean by? It's not just simply listening. And he's saying then, hearing and doing. He says here in this passage, Who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them? It's not just hearing, but it's also doing. What do you think about that? The Lord Jesus calls that person a wise man. The wise man is he who hears and doeth. It's not just, my grandmother used to have a saying with us when we were little and growing up, that she would say it would go in one ear and come out of the other. I think that we sometimes do that with our children, isn't it? Did you hear me? Did you take care of your room? I didn't hear you. I told you 5 times I didn't hear you. I think it's important for us, and what the Lord Jesus is saying at the conclusion of this is not only hearing, but we ought to stop and say, what is he saying? What does he mean by that? How can I apply that? And how does that translate into doing? The Lord Jesus closes this sermon, and he says, it is not simply sufficient to hear, but you see, that which you hear, you must also obey. In James chapter 1, and I know that's a very familiar passage to some of us, but in James chapter 1, you remember what the Lord is saying here in his word. He says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Then he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. James chapter 1, verse 19. And then he says in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For behold himself, he goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I think that you can say, without stretching the truth, you can draw a parallel to what James is saying, to what the Lord Jesus is saying. If any man hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise builder that has built his house on a rock. What do you think? It's not stretching it, is it? We cannot be simply I'm listening, I'm hearing it, I've gone to church, and it's come in here, registered, and I think we ought to always be at the place, what is he saying, and how can I apply that? Is this translate into godliness and godly living? How can I respond to that? The reason that the Lord Jesus is saying that the foundation of the wise man is like the man that builds on a rock. We've seen it recently. You see these incredible videos that are on television. You've got these homes that are on a river bank way up high. Floods come, and I mean, the water is getting higher and higher. The earth, you see, collapses into the river, and yards are being lost, and foot by foot, and directly, you see, there's a whole house that's being washed into the river and directly is gone. Last night for about 5 minutes, I thought, my goodness, we're going to have a deluge of rain. I asked someone this morning, I said, did you get a good hard rain last night? And the person said to me, I don't know. Apparently they were sleeping real good. But with our metal roof, and it was really coming down. And oftentimes, the Lord uses an illustration that I think that we can all relate to. Folks, in this life, in the life that we live, and we need to be honest, storms will come. And this is an illustration that the Lord is using, I believe, that we can relate to. Can't we? Can we relate to that? The storms that come our way, and what kind of storms come our way? Christians, we're not exempt from storms. What comes our way? Well, you have loss of health. You have relationships, you see, that are affected by it. There are sometimes position, family matters. There are all kinds of things that will come our way, disappointments. There are sometimes loss of loved ones. There are all kinds of relationships, you see, grief and sorrow comes, storms descend and beat us down. And I want you to know that as that song that we sing, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I believe that every one of us, we can go around the room and we can say, let me tell you of an event and a storm in my life. Were it not for the truth of Christ, were it not for the grace of God, were it not for the fact that I understood what the Word of God tells us, that were it not for the truth of the Scriptures, that knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose, that I know that He is on the throne, that I can bring all my things. He's the one to sustain me. I am on a solid rock. My house, my spiritual house, is on a solid foundation. What do you think? Can you relate to that? The Lord Jesus does that when He speaks of the Word of God and the parable of the sower. Y'all remember that. There are sometimes those that ready with joy receive the Word, and then when tribulation and troubles come, what happens? By and by, when storms of life come, what happens? Their house was built on the sand, and you see the storm beat on it, and what happens? By and by, they were offended, and they draw back. But then there are those, you see, whose the Word falls into a ground that has been plowed up by the Holy Spirit, grounded up on the Lord Jesus, and that house stands. Was that not the case of Horatius Spafford when he wrote the song, "It Is Well With My Soul"? Y'all remember that? I mean, this man loses his family on a ocean voyage from, I believe it was from England to the United States. Huh?
United States.
What did I say? From England to the United States. He traveled from England to the United States or from the United States to England. I don't know where the calamity happened, but somewhere in that on the ocean. The ship, you see, went down. He lost his family. And I believe, if I understand and remember the story correctly, is that he sought to visit the place where the ship went down. And there you see, in all, the midst of all of that, he penned that hymn that we oftentimes sing. And one of the stanzas in that, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ had regarded my helpless estate, and even so, it is well with my soul. I want you to know, the storms of life, they are storms. We're not simply saying when you are in a storm and difficulties come your way, we don't just simply say, somebody says, how are you doing? You say, I'm doing great. That I can say, I'm hurting, I'm going through a valley, that I am in difficulties. There are troubles, there is storm, but yet at the same time, I know who is in charge, and I am in His hand, and I stand on the foundation of the Lord Jesus. And so Spafford penned that song that we oftentimes sing, "And even so, it is well with my soul." But then there's the other side. And the other point in this comparison, the house that is built up on the sand is beat up by the floods and rains and foundation. What happens to it? Gradually, it's worn away. It falls. It's borne down the stream. It's destroyed. So falls, you see, so falls the sinners. The floods are wearing away the sandy foundation, and soon the tremendous storm shall beat up on it, and he and his hope shall fall away. And I want you to know, how often are we, and in our society in particular, especially as we looked at the last 3 weeks from 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, perilous times will come. And you remember we talked about the fact that how many people are, they have a form of godliness without power. They're ever learning and never coming to the truth. They're simply hearing, and then the storms of life come, and what happens ultimately? Albert Barnes says, out of Christ, perhaps having heard His word from very childhood. Perhaps having taught them to others in Sunday school. It brings me to mind, recently I had visited with a man who was concerned about hellfire and brimstone. And he called me and he said, "Pastor," he said, "when I was a young man, when I was young, I used to hear preachers about hellfire and brimstone, and tell me, is that still the case?" He has heard it some 70 or 80 years before as a little boy, perhaps in Sunday school, but at the same time, he has never really responded to it. Perhaps having been the means of laying the foundation on which others shall build for heaven, he has laid for himself no foundation, and soon an eternal tempest shall beat around his naked soul. How great will be that fall? What will be his emotions when sinking forever in the flood, when he realizes that he is destined forever to live and writhe in these peltings of that ceaseless storm that shall beat, when God shall rain snares and fire and horrible tempest upon the wicked? I want you to know that. And I want you to know, when you look at scriptures and you see the Lord Jesus, he himself makes reference, you see, in chapter 7, just a few verses before, when he talks about the fact that you need to go through that, enter into that straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Think about it. And the Lord Jesus makes reference to the fact, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, he's not just making reference to what he just said a few verses before. He's making reference to the whole sermon that he has preached, but immediately, right to what he's saying, that he's talking about the fact there is a broad way that leads to destruction, which you see, the narrow way, and there is which narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And then he begins to teach the fact that beware of false prophets, and which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And then he goes on in that very same chapter. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then here again, listen to these words. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We cannot ever separate what we know and hear about the Word of God without responding to it. I want you to know that. There cannot be a separation from what we hear of God's Word and just simply say, well, this is just strictly for information's sake, and I have it up here, but it does not translate into practical, godly living. We cannot separate that. I want you to know that as I was sitting here this morning and thinking, what is the most precious and prized possession that we have? What if we were to gather up? Travis, what do you think that maybe in a few years, I'm not sure that it's going to happen soon, but there's a possibility that in a few years, that we may be at a place where some government official will say, we need to gather up the Bibles. What do you think about that? What is the most prized possession that you have and that we possess? What is it? What is the most precious thing that we have? I want you to know what grand privileges that we have been granted in this nation, that we can still get together and assemble ourselves freely and read the Sermon on the Mount. What a great privilege that we have to expound the words of the Lord Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. What a great truth that we have that the Lord Jesus is saying to his disciples. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness. Blessed are those. And when you think about all, and then when he's saying to them, you are the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. And then he's saying to them that your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then he expounds to them the truths of the kingdom of God and the grace of God that is to be displayed from the heart. And he's saying to them, if you have hatred in your heart, you've already committed murder. If you look and you lust, you see, you have already committed adultery. When he's saying to them, if someone hits you on your face, if someone strikes you on your cheek, turn the other cheek also. You think about it, what he's saying there. Think about what he's saying, that we're to love them that despitefully use us and pray for them. Pray for our enemies. Think about it. And how the Lord Jesus is so teaching his word that I say, what a privilege that we have to respond to this word. And then at the same time, I want to say, do these truths have an impact in my life, or do I simply have them in my head? Do I know what it is to pray for my enemies? Do I know what it is if someone is trying to sue me that I give him my coat also? Do I know what it is to good unto them? Do you understand me what I'm saying? Not just simply able to quote it, you see, and to make reference to it and to say this is in chapter 5 and this is in chapter 6 and this is in chapter 7 that I have a handle on and understand, you see, that which is in the Sermon on the Mount, but at the same time that I have heard it and that I'm able and capable and desiring to respond to it in a biblical way. You follow me? What a privilege. And yet at the same time, the awesome responsibility, having heard the truths of Christ, and yet at the same time, think about it, how many hear the truths of Christ, and yet at the same time, do not apply it for them. The Lord Jesus is saying, if that's the case, then we are like the man who builds his house upon the sand, and he has no foundation, and most certainly, you see, most certainly it will fall. What a great fall that will be. And ultimately, when we stand before the all-seeing eye of God, I want you to know, what are we going to stand on? I want you to know, when we appear before the Lord, what is it that we stand on? What do we stand on? Where is our hope? And where is our confidence? When I think about those words of the Sermon on the Mount in particularly, when the Lord Jesus is saying, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, thou will nowise, you see, enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want you to know that, just that very statement there. This was the religious crowd who had it all together in their eyes. That was the religious crowd that looked before all. And somebody says, your righteousness must exceed their righteousness. What was missing in their righteousness? Let me tell you what they displayed. They displayed, look at me. I've got a nice tie on. I look like a preacher. I talk like a preacher. I comb my hair like a preacher. I walk like a preacher. And you see, I talk like a preacher, and the Lord is saying that your righteousness must exceed that righteousness which they displayed only publicly, externally, before a people. The Lord is saying to us, our righteousness must be that which springs from the heart. And so when I look at the Sermon on the Mount, when it's all said and done, that I have to come to the place and say, Lord, you must do a work in the heart. And that's when the Lord Jesus comes to the conclusion of that sermon, when he says, and enter into that straight gate, enter into that narrow gate, in order for me to hear and to understand and respond, I must be on that narrow path, and I want you to know the gate is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever gone through that? That you've come to the place and you said, all my righteousnesses, all that I am, falls way short of that which God requires. You see, all I am, the best that I have, is fallen way short, you see, when compared to the glory of God. I must have a righteousness which counts in His eyes, and that is none other than the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do I hear? The things that I hear, do they show me what I am and the path that I am on? Am I truly one that hears and applies and with His help, you see, applies His word by faith, and that we walk and live our lives in such a way that we know that I'm listening, Lord, I'm listening, and to the best of my ability, by Your grace, I'm responding to Your word. I surely don't want to be like those that the Lord Jesus is saying in verse 21 of this chapter. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? What a tragedy. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I say, will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I want you to know what a seriousness of it. That here were a people who were no doubt involved in the work of the Lord underneath the umbrella of Christianity, doing all kinds of mighty things. And yet at the same time, the Lord says, Lord, I don't know you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Have we heard? And have we responded? And how can I respond? I want you to know where we start. We start with the Lord Jesus. What do you think? Is the Lord Jesus the one who is the Lord in your life? Is He the one that speaks and you say, Lord, I want to listen? And then, Lord, I want to respond to what you have to say. And regardless how difficult things are, that you see, when regardless what comes, that I'm the one that has my house built on a rock. And then when the storm comes, what happens? What happens? He's safe. But if not, we're like the one who builds on the sand and the storm comes. What happens? Slowly but surely, sand is eroded, the house falls, and great is the fall thereof. Oh, may we be a people that are desirous to say, Lord, speak. I want to hear. I want to respond. I want to understand. And Lord, I want to respond, you see, in that glorious calling that you've called us to, in a lost and dying world, to be the proclaimers of the mercies that are found in the Lord Jesus. May the Lord help us to do that. Let's pray.